A strong biblical foundation is the baseline for Christian growth. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us to build on principles from God's Word.
And I'm just saying, all of us need to be willing to be tuned up spiritually in order that we might continue to run the race that God has given to us. And if you do come to a place where something's bugging you and you're angry and you see a person and you have these negative thoughts, I'm telling you, that displeases God.
Spiritual discipline sounds great in theory, but putting it into practice takes time and determination. In our series, Building Below the Baseline, Pastor Chappell illustrates the importance of building the part of life that no one else sees, but God. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Our churches and homes today need Christians willing to build their lives on eternal truth rather than worldly trends. Our series today is designed to give us practical lessons that will help us pursue a life marked by biblical wisdom. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called Building Forgiveness.
A mature Christian can take a potentially big problem and make it smaller. A carnal Christian will take a little issue and make it bigger. Right? Let me say that again. A spiritual Christian will take something that could be explosive and they'll put water on it and make it smaller. A carnal Christian will take a little bit of nothing and make it into a big something. And God says, I want you to be a minister of grace. And I've learned that when you pour grace on something, that there's a peaceful result, that there's a godly result. And God says all of us are to be ministers of grace. We're to have that disposition of grace. Luke 4:22, and all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is this not Joseph's son? John 7:46, and the officers answered, never a man spake like this man. We should then speak in kind, truthful, and encouraging words. We ought to practice that and maybe have a way that spouses can remind one another to be encouraging, to remind our children. Maybe signs would help. Look for the good and praise it. How many of you are a little better at finding the negative than the positive? Anybody want to admit to that? Some of you that are given to detail like I am, I can walk into a room and tell you which light bulb's out, which door squeak. I can tell you who's here and who's not here. I just have this way of seeing things that need to get fixed, and sometimes it just drives my wife crazy, I'm sure. We got to do this, we got to do that. You know why? Sometimes it's easier to see what's wrong than it is to see what's right. That's why God reminds us, listen, I need you to find some things that are going right, and I need you to edify people for that. Just about anybody can find out what's going wrong. Did you know that you'll very rarely, if ever, find a monument in the center of town to a critic? Here lies Bill Jones. He was critical of everybody. You'll not find that. But you will find remembrances for people who were bold and courageous and encouraging to save nations and to fight valiantly for righteous causes. May our words be graceful. A proud person cannot minister grace. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. What would happen this year if you went to your unfair boss, the one that rubs you the wrong way? And what would happen if you went to him and said, hey, I just want to thank you for everything you do around here? Say, well, he might trample on me, he might take advantage of me. Well, he might have a heart attack too. I have no idea what he might do. But what would happen if you sought to edify him? What would happen if when you didn't make the sports team, you went to the coach and you said, coach, I guess I wasn't quite ready for the team, but could I maybe help carry the medical box or keep score? Is there anything I could do to just serve? What would happen if mom and dad, whose kid didn't make the team, had that attitude? Just said, well, this must not be God's will this time. But let's find out how we can participate. Let's do something to edify the whole body here. Let's not be given to communication that's negative about the coach. But let's edify. You say, do you know of somebody like? I know of nobody. I just know every year we have six teams, and every year some people make it and some people don't. They used to show me who made it and who didn't, and I tried to encourage those that didn't, but these days I don't even have time to see the list. I just hope we're spiritual enough to learn that God's in control. Amen. What would happen if you just went to the person that things didn't go the way you wanted and you showed grace to them? What would happen if you went to that same coach and said, you know, our son didn't make the team this year, but could we maybe drive for the other kids? Now, how many of you, that sounds like what a Christian might do? Amen. What would happen if Christians acted like Christians? That's what grace is all about. What would happen if you wrote a congratulatory letter to the one that got the promotion you wanted, or to the parent of the child who did a little better? What would happen if you wrote a thank you letter to the teacher that had to give you some bad news? I believe what happens when you show grace is that God rewards you. And contrarywise, when we allow corruption or disappointment or bitterness to fill up in our heart, then we're going to have to go through several more disappointments before we learn what God is trying to teach us. He's trying to bring us to the place where we rely on His grace. And so, we must reject Satan's temptation to remain in anger. And we must reflect biblical grace. If we do not learn to grow in grace, then we will have unforgiveness and bitterness at the baseline. And one day, boom, where did they go? Boom, did you hear what happened? Boom, that guy got so mad. He was peeling rubber in the parking lot and ran over a pole and almost killed a kid. What's wrong with him? Thirdly, we must refuse to grieve the Holy Spirit. Refuse to grieve the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Now the word grieve means to cause sorrow. And this is always very sobering for me, and I just want you to think about it tonight. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. We believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen? The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. As the Holy Spirit indwells you as a believer, and you have relationship with Him, and you are commanded to walk in the Spirit, to pray in the Spirit, not to grieve the Spirit, not to quench the Spirit, you and I are commanded to abide in relationship with the Spirit. So this person that indwells us, the third person of the Godhead, the Bible says can be grieved. Now, there's not a husband in this room who hasn't at some point in time grieved his wife. Every one of us seem to be pretty good at that. Maybe we forgot a birthday or an anniversary. Maybe we said something stupid about whatever, and we instantly, how many husbands you just instantly went, that was one of the dumbest things. How could I ever do that as a husband? How many husbands? The rest of you men, there's going to be an altar call right up here at the end. We have you on video. Because there's not a man in here that hasn't grieved his wife. Now listen, the same word, to think that you could grieve God. Now I know what the antinomian, ultra grace type people say. I'm under grace, you know, pop another Michelob. I don't need to hear this. I can do what I want to do. I don't care about the old lady. Hey, I don't want that kind of religion, because that kind of grace is not the kind of grace I see in the Bible. The kind of grace I see in the Bible tells me that I'm to be growing in the likeness of Jesus Christ, and I'm not to be grieving God. You're not here tonight because you want to grieve God. You're here tonight because you want to please God. So it says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. And then notice what it says the Holy Spirit does. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed under the day of redemption. And we'll not take time, but when you accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, there was a mark or a seal spiritually placed upon your soul. Ephesians chapter 1 says it also, we are sealed until the day of our redemption. And we as Bible believers and as Baptists believe in the eternal security of the believer. We believe that just as kings in the East would take their signet on their ring, place it in hot wax, and put it on a document of sale, put it on a document of some decision that was decreed, and that signet sealed that kingly decision. So when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, that decision to trust Christ, the keeping of your soul for eternity, that was sealed, my friend, by the Holy Spirit of God the day you got saved, and nothing can break the seal of God over your life. I'm so thankful for that. Aren't you glad you don't have to sing songs like you must be born again and again and again and again and again? But that once you're saved, it's sealed. But if the Holy Spirit would do something so wonderful for us, why would we want to offend or grieve the Holy Spirit? And when we harbor bitterness, when we have hidden sin in our heart, unconfessed sin, it grieves Him. And it hinders the work of God in our lives. Now notice this, bitterness, letter A, grieves God. Bitterness grieves God. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. This bitterness, which means poisonous hatred, extreme wickedness, is to be put away. One author said, unforgiveness is the poison we drink hoping others will die. When you come to that place, when you're so ticked off at some ultra-authoritarian person, you're so ticked off at some person that hit you or hurt you, or you're so ticked off about a situation in your life. Now, I've pastored many people who literally their persona just changed. Some of them finally said what happened. Some of them never say. They moved to a distant state. It's all good. It's all God. But it was never the same. And it was so obvious. Bitterness changes people. And notice what it says. It says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor. This bitterness leads to wrath, which is passionate, fierce rage. Anger then, which is a violent emotion. You see, bitterness grieves God. And secondly, sinful speech grieves God. Now look at verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Now listen, be careful. Someone says, oh, I wasn't doing any evil speaking. We were just kind of sizing up a situation. But be careful that you don't get involved in something that is clamorous, crying out, evil speaking, slanderous, or filled with malice towards someone else. Because Satan wants to have those cracks develop below the baseline that will ruin relationship. If we're going to avoid the cracking below the baseline, we must reject Satan's temptation to let the sun go down on our wrath. We must reflect biblical grace and edify people, even people that bother us. We must refuse to grieve the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity that lives within us. He cannot cohabitate with anger and clamor and bitterness and still empower you to witness and to parent and to be the Christian that you're supposed to be. And then fourthly, we must reflect the Savior's forgiveness. Perhaps most importantly tonight, if we're going to avoid bitterness, we're going to have to forgive. Look at verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. It's the issues below the baseline that have to be dealt with in our hearts. We must deal with these, or it's going to be another church and another church and another marriage and another marriage and another incident and another blow up and another arrest and another pill and another bottle. We've got to learn how to appropriate God's grace in difficult situations. So how do we reflect the Savior's kindness? Well, first of all, he says in verse 32, be ye kind one to another and tender-hearted, having strong inward compassion, putting ourselves in someone else's shoes. A lot of times people that bother us have real issues in their life and hurtful issues and different backgrounds. Sometimes people will come to me and they'll say, I'm going to tell you about that person right there, what they did that just bothered me. It was mean. It wasn't right. And sometimes, if the Lord allows me, I'll share with them something going on in their life. I'll never forget the time that the couple came up to me years ago, and we'd had a man visiting our church, and this couple that was in the church prior came up, and they said, "Look, the church is growing so much, and people aren't very friendly, don't even realize who we are and what all we've done." And said, "Take a look at that man, for example, right over there. He has never even spoken to us. He has never even looked at us." And I remember telling that couple, I'm so sorry to let you know, but that man is blind. And I'm telling you that some of the things we get exasperated about, if we had the mind of God and the understanding of everything that's going on, it's embarrassing that we let ourselves get exasperated about it. Again, instead of taking a little thing and make it bigger, why don't we take that and just, by the grace of God, shrink it down? Did you know you'd need less appointments or marriage counseling or appointments with the boss or the principal or whoever you need to vent this with? And there's times when we have to deal with those things, but did you know a lot of those things can be dealt with right here or right in your family devotions or right in your own heart? You see, we serve a kind Savior. How many of you are thankful for that? I mean, how many of you are glad that God doesn't every day give you what you deserve? I mean, I'm thankful that He's long-suffering. Amen. We serve a kind Savior. Amen. And secondly, we serve a forgiving Savior. And this is such a great verse. Notice, forgiving one another. And someone says, "Well, I just can't do that." All right, read the rest of the verse. "Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." And this is what I've heard over the years in counseling. "I can't forgive him. He doesn't deserve his forgiveness." Okay, when Jesus Christ shed his blood for you, did you deserve that? Yes or no? Did you deserve that? No. Grace is undeserved favor. And we're commanded to forgive others as God forgave us through Christ. Simply stated, there should be not one person that you cannot forgive in this world today. They may not be your favorite person all the time, but you should not harbor bitterness towards that person based upon the grace of Jesus Christ. Forgiving, which means to pardon. Forgiveness is me giving up my right to hurt you for hurting me. Forgiving even as God, the same way God, for Christ's sake, forgave us. What did Jesus say as he was there on the cross? He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Romans 12:21, "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." One author said, "Learn to write your hurts in sand and to carve your blessings in stone." I have a book in my office. It's called My Blessing Book. And I'm telling you, we've had so many blessings at this church. We've had days where we've seen dozens saved and baptized and funds raised for buildings and 12 new missionaries. I mean, just days. And when we have those days, I put in that book the blessings of God. I just write them down. Now, I've perhaps had an equal number of disappointments. Days of disappointment. Days when you're like, "No way, really?" Difficult days. Dozens of funerals and just difficult days. But I'm going to tell you something. The days that I write down are the blessed days of God. And I read them and I rehearse them. And you ought to remember the blessings and count your blessings every day. Martin Lloyd-Jones was a British expositor who wrote a lot about preaching. But he said, "Whenever I see myself before God and realize something of what my blessed Lord has done for me at Calvary, I am ready to forgive anybody anything. I cannot withhold it. I do not even want to withhold it." And now, I don't know what it might be that's bothering you. I don't know if it's some preacher 50 years ago, you know. Your parents made you go to bed at 9 o'clock, whatever. If you'll look at the cross and remember what Jesus did for you, you should be able to forgive them. Now look at right here. If there's somebody that you're not forgiving tonight, it's a willful choice of yours. And if you want to choose to have bitterness and to be the wilting flower personality and the one that is always frustrated or upset, or if you want to live that way, you can, but God has a better way. And His way is always the way of forgiveness. And that's how you avoid the cracks in the baseline. I have a devotional guide that I use, and I put some of this material also in the Stewarding Life Journal that we published a few years ago. But there's some decisions that I've made over the course of my life. Many of them have been made right at preaching times, just decisions I wrote in my Bible, and then later I've transferred to a document that I use in my devotions and things that I read every single day, things I try to remind myself. For example, to die to self, to be filled with the Spirit, to have the wisdom of God. And in a particular section of that devotional book, there are some things that I wrote down to try to avoid the trap of bitterness. One of the things I wrote down is to avoid unnecessary divisions. Years ago, Dr. Hudson wrote a book called Unnecessary Divisions, and it was written to pastors. I think if you've been here any length of time, you know that I'm not afraid, if God leads me, or ashamed to stand up for the right issues and to stand, and having done all to stand. By the same token, I don't want to jump into every single issue or battle just for the sake of a fight. And I want to pray for wisdom. Is this my flesh? Is this my issue? Is this just something that I did just for the fight? I want to avoid unnecessary division. You don't want to become a Christian that's always up in arms about something. I wrote down, secondly, I want to be willing to be taken advantage of. Did you know that sometimes in life and in the ministry, it's just not fair? And you give and you give and you give, and maybe you lead someone to the Lord, or maybe you lend somebody some money, or maybe you help and disciple, and for that, you might get criticized. You might get worse. But if you're going to be a faithful minister over the decades, you have to be willing to let that happen. And though it hurts and stings, you have to give that back to the Lord. You have to get back up and still love people again the next day. And the next day. And the next day. You say, well, you know, I'll put my kid at the teen camp, but the first time there's a problem with that Jones kid, then we're pulling out. You're perhaps missing a point, giving your child the opportunity to grow in grace earlier rather than later in their life. And sometimes in life, if you're going to be in the ministry, you're going to be taken advantage of. I wrote down in my devotional book, to forgive as Christ forgave. Look, life is too short. I don't know how many years we get on this life. I don't know what the average is today. Maybe it's 72. But I don't want to spend 4 or 5 of those being mad at someone. Life's too short. Forgive as Christ forgave you. I wonder tonight, are you a cultural Christian that knows how to look and knows what to say at all the right times? Or are you a spiritual Christian who actually practices forgiveness? Who literally walks in the Spirit and gives grace. I wonder tonight, are there some cracks in your foundation?
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his free Daily in the Word email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. Again, that's paulchappell.com. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell serves as a pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, become a partner in the Word, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at paulchappell.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.